All right, are we recording?
Yeah.
You ready?
For what?
The greatest episode of any podcast ever recorded.
No, I'm not ready for that. That's a lot of pressure.
Okay, well, we'll just do another episode of Mitch and Kelly.
Stuck in Texas. Really yeah, I'm up in that. Yeah.
We got to quit doing that. Mm. All right, so today I think the format should be you giving me advice off of my thing with my daughter, and then we're going to go over what happened in comedy for the week.
So we're switching it up.
Yeah, let's, you know, give the viewers or the listeners a little variety.
Variety
keep
it is.
Keep them on their toes.
All right, so what's going on with Billy?
Well, first of all, I had to call the poison control hotline today.
What?
And just to help anyone who's wondering, the number for poison control is 800-222-1222. And if your child has put anything in their mouth that you think might be harmful, do not hesitate to call them.
So how much of your lube did she eat?
No, we were outside.
I don't know why your lube was outside.
So it's not lube. I'm flush now. I wanted to come into this as an adult and have a real conversation.
I'm sorry, there are no adult friends here, just me.
All right, but here's where we're at. So I teased last week that I wanted to talk about steps that we could take for decorating our Christmas tree so that she wouldn't necessarily destroy it.
Right.
And so that goes along with her doing things like eating dog food. And so she's constantly grabbing things and putting them in her mouth.
That's how you explore. You learn through taste.
Well, I like to do things with my daughter. I like to keep her involved. I think that she's very girly, but also have her doing things outside with me. So I was doing some very light landscaping type stuff in the yard. You know, I had the surgery, so I still got to kind of take it easy on my hands.
It's a manicure, not surgery.
Well, you got to admit, those are some beautiful French tips.
Your cuticles are mwah.
So I was out there, and it's so cute. She has a trowel that she uses, and she's scooping things up, and she has a little dump truck out there that she loads up. It's adorable.
I love this, but at none of these turns have I heard a reason to call poison control. 1-800-222-1222.
There is a vine growing along the garden, and that vine is called snail seed. And it's got leaves that are heart-shaped, or they look like a spade and a deck of cards. And they have a little red berry.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing about nature. A lot of times, the things that are brightly colored that would grab attention, they're toxic.
Mm. Yeah, like a woman's lips.
Yeah, exactly. And so she saw these berries. And I don't know for sure if she ingested one, but there was some smeared on her shirt, and I ran over, and I told her to open her mouth, and she showed me there was no evidence of it, but I immediately called poison control, and they kind of walked me through the steps of what to do.
So how did you fix your daughter's snail trail?
That is disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself.
That's not what it's called?
No, I don't know. Unless you're talking about it's snail seed.
Oh, you planted a snail. Got it.
No. This is
the berry.
I feel like you're not taking the almost death of my child. It's very, very seriously right now.
You showed up for the podcast. Everything is clearly fine.
You don't know how serious I take this podcast. This is the second, if not tied for first, most important thing in my life right now.
So what do you do if somebody eats snails? Snails, seed snails,
first
tiny
all,
snails, red snails, berry snails, snail berries.
It is a very important thing to remain calm, which I surprisingly did. I remember one time she was like 2 months old maybe, and I let her taste a watermelon, but she gummed down on it pretty hard. And a chunk of the watermelon went in her mouth, and I lost it. I, like, finger-scooped the watermelon out and then immediately started crying because I thought, I almost killed my dog. Maybe this time it was her fault that I didn't get so upset. But the operator at Poison Control just talked me through some steps. He had her swish her mouth out with water, then drink a bunch of water, and then we watched her symptoms for an hour, and then they called back to check. And had any of the symptoms gotten, like if she was throwing up a lot or anything like that, it was take her to the ER. But she was fine. I don't know if she ate it or not, but...
Have you checked her poop today?
Full of crayons.
Scat. Crayons. Crayons are non-toxic.
That's right. They definitely took that into consideration. My daughter loves the taste of Crayola.
Is there like a particular color of crayon she likes better? Is she like, give me that yellow crayon. Gonna mow on it.
She is very, what's the word where they don't?
Indiscriminate.
She is very indiscriminate about what flavor crayon.
That's beautiful.
So I guess here's the question after that whole story.
Yes. How do you protect your Christmas tree? Got it.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, without, because I raised my voice at her one time. Like, I wanted to get the point across to her. And then my wife, Lee, she was like, hey, let's not yell at her. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Because she did cry. She saw clearly that I was upset and she didn't like that. We don't do any kind of physical stuff. But how do you...
Except feeding your kid poison berries.
That is going to be the new punishment.
Yes. Go outside and pick a snail berry.
Like, you remember how back in the day they used to make us go get our own switch?
Yep.
Hey, go get your own poisonous berries. And while you sit in uncontrollable abdominal pain, I want you to think about what you did.
It's not funny.
So, I mean, what do you do? I guess I could pour a little hot sauce on everything that she reaches for. You know, I gotta start putting hot sauce on the dog food.
Oh, dude, your dog's bums are gonna burn.
Yeah, I gotta think about my daughter. What's funny is that I googled the kid eating dog food and they were like, yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's, don't even worry about it.
I mean, it's not like the part of the salmon you would eat, but it's still salmon.
I think I'm gonna just make sure I have plenty of videos to use it against her as she gets older.
Absolutely. When she says, I'm not gonna eat this, Dad, you can be like, why not? You ate Old Roy's.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to eat your broccoli now, but kibbles and bits was fine.
Well, it had the bits.
So what did you do when your two were growing up and putting things in there? How did you...
I just put everything that's poisonous in a safe spot. Like, even now, when your daughter comes over, she's relatively safe because all my cleaning products are above my washing machine.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that the gun was just laying out on the coffee table seemed a little odd to me.
It has a biometric lock on it, damn it.
Okay. It's like the Judge Dredd gun where if they tried to use it, it shocked their hands.
Yeah.
So essentially you're telling me that there is no way to do it at this point in her life. She's 20 months old.
Yeah, it's hard to make her discern what's safe and what's not safe. Like, when you get to kindergarten, they start talking about Mr. Yuck stickers and all that kind of stuff. But really, you just got to keep anything that's dangerous kind of out of sight.
Well, I feel sorry for the birds, because the birds actually enjoy those berries, and then they eat them, and then they poop them out, and then it makes more vines with berries on it. But I guess I got to choose my kid over these birds.
Well, no, you don't even need to get rid of the berry. Just put a barricade around the vine until she's old enough to know better.
It's not that big of a deal. I'm taking it. I'm getting rid of stuff. The vines, what I found is that the vines are killing trees because they take up a lot of the moisture around the trees, and then they can cause like a fungus to grow, and it rots the tree. So vines are a terrible thing anyway, whether they have poisonous berries or not.
You should not be left alone with Google.
I'm learning as I go. So, anyway, I guess I got to work harder.
You just got to put everything up or put secure locks on anything that has anything that's poisonous in it.
I feel like we did a pretty good job with that in the house. One of my friends, our baby shower gift that he got us was these cabinet locks.
The magnetic ones?
No, they go over the handles and stuff, uh-huh. And then they go behind the cabinet, so that prevents her from going in and getting like under the sink where all that stuff is. Side note, you know, under the sink being perfect child level, it is odd that that's where we've all decided to keep our baby-killing materials.
I keep my trash can and my favorite cleaning supply, which is very non-toxic.
What, water and vinegar?
White vinegar, yeah. So those are all underneath my kitchen sink. But my favorite part about baby locks is that I got the magnetic ones, And they were such a pain in the arse to operate.
What are we, British?
But my kids could open those with no trouble at all.
Oh, really? Like,
they figured out how to do it effectively before I did.
These that have the, like, physical latch, she has a little bit harder time doing. I think the coolest part about latching these things up is if you come home too drunk and you're trying to have, like, a late night snack, it might prevent you from doing it at times.
So, child safety and diet.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, that's it for me. I guess I'll just work on being a better dad. So let's talk about you now.
Put the chainsaw away.
But yeah, so, you know, call poison control if you even suspect that your kid has ingested something, and then just be ready to follow the instructions. They did a great job of talking me through it. And that's it. So we're back to you now with your stand-up comedy week 2 or 3 assignment. I don't remember. But anyway, so here's where we are. You've been going to some open mics, and you had some stuff that we were going to talk about. We brought it up at the end of the last episode. Mm-hmm. So let's go through. Your first assignment was to go to the open mic and to tell us who you enjoyed the most, and what it was that you enjoyed about them and what you didn't enjoy and why. Now, let's remain diplomatic. Let's not get you into any Wichita Falls comedy beef.
Okay.
So let's stay a little vague about who the person is, but did you have a favorite?
I did.
Okay, now, or what was it about that person that you really liked?
Okay, well, I feel like it's okay to name names on your favorite.
Okay.
It's not okay to name names on the ones you don't like.
Okay, that's fine, yeah.
The last open mic I did that I had someone I really enjoyed was the one you were at.
Okay.
And big surprise, you were my favorite comic.
I wish I would have made a stipulation where it couldn't be me, but we'll allow it. I guess flattery will get you everywhere. So,
or I can edit that out and we can go to a different open mic.
I mean, do you have another name that you're, or another person that you're ready to use?
Sure.
We don't got to edit anything out. I think we should keep it on the record that I'm your favorite.
You're my favorite.
But let's talk about, other than me, who, like, knocked your socks off. Who was great?
Well, I wouldn't say knocked my socks off, but there is a comic that I enjoy, and I've found that what I enjoy about this person is they don't talk about their dick the entire time. A little bit, but not the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, like, how much attention does your penis need?
Apparently a lot.
I think at a 5-minute open mic, your penis should get maximum 30 seconds of attention, and then let's talk about airplane food or something.
As a woman, I gotta say, 30 seconds is fine amount of attention for a penis.
Anything over is just playing with it at this point.
Yeah, you're just playing with your food.
All right, so they don't talk about their penis very much.
Right, so it was a man. There were no women at the open mic. What I really liked about him was his delivery. He's just, like, very calm and cool, very conversational.
You can say who it is. Maybe people want to look him up.
His name is Clint George, and he's told the same jokes every time I've seen him. But what I really like about him is his delivery.
Okay, so you liked his delivery. And then, of course, that was the next one. What didn't you enjoy about it and why?
I would have preferred if he didn't open with his penis. It just seems to be what every guy does. It's just like, hi, my name is this. Let me tell you about my penis before we can go on to the funny shit.
I think what's interesting about that is that these audiences are primarily made up of other male comedians. So they're just enjoying telling the other comedians about their penis, the other guys. They're like, hey, fellas, does your penis do this?
Well, the thing that gets me is, like, eventually I would love if my mom and dad came to a show. And I can't imagine being like, Mom, Dad, come see what I've been spending all my free time doing.
And then it's
my penis.
That is what the other person is saying. You're not talking about your penis.
No, I'm not talking about my penis.
All right, so, but you mentioned that they did the same material.
Yes.
And you've seen this multiple times. So
yes.
At this point, you're wishing that this person who you enjoy watching, who has really great stage presence and delivery,
right?
You'd like to hear something new from them.
Right. That's something that I just think I've noticed across all the open mics is there's not a lot of writing going on.
Well, I think that's a thing that happens. So here's a problem with stand-up comedy, especially starting out, is that you might hit on a couple things that are funny and get laughs. And then you try something that doesn't get a laugh, and it kills your confidence. And so then you go back to doing those things that get laughs. And so that's why, like last week before we went out to the show, I said, hey, do some material based off of this.
Right.
Right? And let's throw it out there. You got to be okay with silence. You got to be okay with the audience not laughing, because you have to figure these things out as you go. And then eventually you'll get to a point where you'll come up with something in your mind. And for the most part, you know it's going to get a laugh one way or the other. And maybe it doesn't. And you're fine with that. You just got to go back and reevaluate. What is it about this that makes it funny? How do I say that on stage? So I think it's a very... I think it's great that this guy is really confident.
In his penis.
With his material on stage.
Right, his penis material.
But you said the rest of it was good too.
Right, I mean, like, none of it really made me belly laugh, really got me down deep, but there were chuckle, I smiled. I smiled the time while I listened to him.
Okay.
Like someone telling a good story. And that's the best it was.
Okay, so let's go to the next one, which there had to be someone that you liked the least.
Yes.
And we don't have to name names about this, but let's talk about why a person, like, bothered you. You have three people?
3 points.
3 points of what this person did, because she was holding up three fingers, and this is an auditory medium, so I had to... say out loud that there was three. So there's 3 points that make this comedian your least favorite at the open mic.
Okay, number one, and it's what I already said, there has been no writing, so nothing new.
Okay.
And the material that is old was never funny.
Okay, so they haven't even really worked on improving the stuff that they've already done.
Right. Okay. And then the third thing is they were very difficult to understand vocally.
Oh, so kind of like murmuring and maybe like mush mouth. Okay. I think so. Here's something interesting. When I was really starting out, I was in Seattle.
Right.
And I got a lot of great stage time at a club called Laughs. And the club owner there...
Is that aspirational?
You know, here's what you'll see as you start doing con and going to more clubs. They all have dumb names to let you know what you're supposed to do while you're in there. So the number one club I started was called Giggles.
Giggles, okay. So they were underestimating it. They're like, we want you to giggle. This one's for the girls.
So they eventually... boy. That reminded me of Meg Ryan in When Harry Met Sally. You were faking laughter like she was faking an orgasm. I watched that movie with my wife last night, and holds up 100%. One of the best movies ever written. But anyway, so these comedy clubs, the first one I started was called Giggles. Now, interesting point to that, they lost the lease on it, and the guy who owned the building turned it into a strip club. He didn't want... to pay for anything, really. So the sign outside that said Giggles was cursive, and he just renamed it Jiggles because the G looked like a cursive J, and they just went with it. They didn't have to do anything.
I'm a huge fan of this man. That is brilliant.
And what the worst part is that when it was a comedy club, I went there probably, you know, 2-3 nights a week.
And then when it was a strip club, it was 5-6 nights.
Every night of the week, he fucking stepped on my joke. All right.
Ba-bam.
But so you have Giggles. You have Laughs. We went to Hyenas and performed. And, I mean, you'll just find this all over the place. The Joke Joint, you know, they're a name like that. There's one chain that's basically the city with the word comedy club, after it. And I think that's probably the best. You got the Tacoma Comedy Club, the Spokane Comedy Club, Bricktown Comedy Club. They're all owned by the same people. And probably the best job in naming a comedy club that I've ever seen.
I like this.
So you gave your three reasons why you didn't like that person. Now let's kind of review real quick. Were the ones that you liked, this would go into the open mics and go into the club, did it seem like the jokes that you liked were mostly real, like true experiences that they were saying in a humorous way, or did it seem made up? Like, if you watch, for example, for me, some of Dave Chappelle's bits in the past could be seen as more far-fetched. Like, when he talked about going through D.C., rolling the window down because there was a baby on the side of the road selling crack. Or when he was riding a bus, a homeless guy was masturbating, and when he ejaculated, Dave dodged it like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. Those were clearly made up
things.
Those
are both beautiful visuals, though.
But I didn't like it. I didn't care for that kind of material.
Right.
I like to hear something and be like, that is, you know. And, you know, there's observational, which kind of goes into, like, you know, you're just seeing the world as it is and making fun of it, but also, like, things that you're doing. So what is your opinion on those, the ones that you liked and didn't like? Where do you kind of lean?
Obviously, I lean towards real, although I'm not opposed to pushing it towards absurd.
Okay.
But not completely too absurd. But, like, something that could have happened. Like, obviously, a baby's not going to sell crack. But
the absurdity of a baby is making fun of the fact that young people are selling drugs.
Right, right, okay. For sure.
I see. So, used in the right context, that can be fine. But you do like the reality.
Right, or at least that it's based in reality. Like, in the near future, I'm going to share a set that I did. And I said something about, I was wearing a ridiculous outfit under a coat. And I was talking about how I'd been at a meeting and the PTA president told me I needed to cover up. And when I took off my coat and I had this ridiculous outfit on, the idea that I wore that to a PTA meeting just cracked the shit up out of me. Like, that
right.
was hilarious to me.
Yes.
Even though it's not the truth. It could have been the truth, but it wasn't.
I got you.
Because I don't go to PTA meetings.
So so believable, but exaggerated.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so what did you see about, like, the guy that you said had really good stage presence? Did you notice anything about the tone in his voice? What kind of stood out about that?
It wasn't like a lot of other comedians. He was pretty just laid back. He had very kind eyes, and he was just like kind of hanging out. But I'm talking about from an open mic in Wichita Falls. So
sure.
That was the best stage presence that I saw.
Okay.
Everybody else seemed to be a little bit forced or they were putting on. So what I liked about his stage presence was it felt real and genuine.
I got you. Okay, so now the next assignment was to use your notes and to write down things that were funny.
Yes.
So throughout the week, you were supposed to be taking things down. And we don't have to go over jokes that you said, but what were some of those ideas that you came up with or topics?
So I was driving through Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there was a billboard, and it said strangulation, and then underneath of it in parens, choking is deadly. That just cracked my shit up because obviously strangulation is choking, but they had to put a billboard up for some reason. So what's happening in Tulsa that they feel like they need to PSA the fact that strangulation is deadly?
All right, so I think that the one thing to do is find out the real reason. I'm going to guess it's domestic violence.
I'm going to guess it's kinky sex because I like that better than domestic violence.
Right, so, and I think that's the purpose of figuring out the real thing. And then turning it into what you want it to be. So, you know who could have used that billboard? David Carradine. See, David Carradine died from autoerotic asphyxiation. So that, to me, is like, this is who needs that billboard.
Maybe his wife put it up.
Yeah.
See,
maybe,
now.
Maybe if his wife could have got it up, he wouldn't have had to been doing the other thing.
See, now, that's like, for me, it could be real that she put that up.
Right.
And that's funny as hell.
Yes, exactly.
But it doesn't have to be 100% true.
100% that didn't happen. I would bet right. all of the money in my bank account, which isn't a lot, that she did not put that billboard. But that is an absurd thing that is funny. But also, you're just pondering it. You're not saying she did it, but, you know. And then, so you had the billboard. Then what else did you get?
So we passed a major shopping holiday, and I was very interested in aspirational purchases and aspirational advertising. I myself have made many aspirational purchases. I have several, not one, not two, several yoga mats that are still in the cellophane.
You know, I used to, I'm overweight. Anyone who's listening knows this because, as I mentioned in the beginning, this is, you're probably a friend of mine, just trying to show some support. But anytime I was getting ready to lose some weight, I would always go buy a new exercise thing at Walmart.
Yes.
That was my place to go. And then I might go to, like, Books A Million.
Yes.
Or Barnes & Noble is the one that went out of business, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, one of the bookstores. And then I would buy, like, a health and fitness or Men's Health magazine. Oh, I was all over those.
Oh, my gosh. So was I. Yeah. Men's Health was my absolute favorite.
For the articles?
For the abs.
So here's what's even worse.
Flashback. Sorry, go ahead.
No, this is what's worse than buying your own aspirational gifts. My mother bought me a Fitbit, and she got me some exercise shirts that were all like one size too small.
That crafty, so crafty
she gave,
mama.
She gave me goals, and I swear she does this every year. She'll give me a shirt that's like one size too small.
So when your mom asks what size you're going to wear, just size up like two sizes?
Yeah. I put on some pounds this year, so... Okay, and so was that it then? There's the gifts that you were looking at, and then...
Yeah, just advertising, inspirational purchases.
So let's go into this next open mic with some jokes for those two things.
Okay.
Okay. Did you pull anything from your morning pages by any chance?
None of it is okay.
Okay, so, I mean, you don't have to. The point of the morning pages is just to do it, and it's to get your mind to start working.
I think the reason why it's not okay is I apparently am very dark in the morning.
You're just doing, like, some therapy.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's fine.
I think I go to bed listening to, like, true crime podcasts, and I have horrible dreams, and I wake up, and I vomit it on the pages of my notebook, and then I'm sunshine and rainbows after that.
That's, hey, you know what? If that's what we're getting out of it, that's good. You have your joke notes, though, right? So...
Right.
So we'll use those, like I said, the two things that you came up with going into the open mic.
Okay.
And then did you give your jokes titles?
Yes.
So let's go through that real quick. Give me the titles that you came up for your jokes.
Pansexual.
Pansexual. That's your daughter telling you she's pansexual. And you think it has something to do with baking because of the word pan.
I love cookies. Jergens.
Jergens is about your son's stinky feet.
Yes.
I know what it is.
Yes.
All right, what's next?
Turkey trots.
Turkey trots. Is that your husband shitting on the side of the road?
Yes.
Okay, so this is good, right? So, number one, if you ever record an album, these are how the tracks are going to be listed. And then if someone's watching and they want to share with a friend, they have an easy way to remember to look this up. And then for you, instead of taking a full notepad up on stage, you can do a set list on a small index card. Just look over at it.
That's awesome. I'm going to feel like a rock star with a set list.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's a set. Whether it's songs or jokes, you have a set list. Now, the final thing was how did the jokes that you worked on all the way up to now work at a club? And so for what we did was I got booked. And this is unfortunate for you because you've come to me for help. And while I am a good comedian, I'm not selling a lot of tickets. But I got booked in Fort Worth at Hyenas, and you had the opportunity to come down and do a 5-minute guest set.
Coattails.
And, yep, I mean, those coattails aren't going to take you very far at all.
But, I'm riding them all the way.
But we went down there, small audience. I know for a fact you worked really hard on all this material. Because I was in the car with you for 2 hours listening to you go over it over and over and over again.
You're such a good friend. And all the while you were editing and being like, that's filler, that's filler, that's filler. I'm like, no, it's out. No, you're right, it's filler.
I think you did a really good job. And then we worked together to kind of get it prepped. How do you feel after this short amount of time going into a professional environment at a comedy club? How do you feel like you did?
I feel like my consumption of scotch was on point.
So you lubed up the gears a little bit.
It like worked wonders for the nerves. They weren't there.
You know, and that's fine. And what I would say is, like, don't become dependent on alcohol to get on stage. I think that going up clear-headed is very important so you can really kind of judge your performance. But you also recorded it so you could go back later and listen to it. So you know how you did. But how did it feel?
It felt great.
And then how did you feel about your performance?
Well, they laughed at things I didn't think they would laugh at. They laughed way more places than at open mics. And I'm not sure if it was because of the tightening that was done on the set or if it was there was a 2-drink minimum.
No, it's because of the tightening. So what you did was you took out stuff that didn't need to be there and you left the funny lines in. So you're going straight from point A to point B in your jokes. And the audience appreciates that and it keeps the pace going. I think that's very important. The pace that you have in your set, it kind of like you kind of want it to be a wave like in the ocean where it builds up and then it comes crashing down and it builds up and it comes crashing down. And I think you really did a good job of that this week.
Hey, thanks, friend. That felt good. What didn't feel good is I highly misjudged how much time I was going to have versus material.
So you think you went overtime or undertime?
I went overtime.
Yeah, but look, so you had a 5-minute block, and I think you did like 6 minutes?
A little bit plus.
So that's, you know, that's not really disrespectful when you're doing a guest spot. If it was an open mic and you were given 3 minutes and you did 5, you know, that's almost double your time. But when you're doing 5 and you do around 6, like, we get it. Plus, I went and I told the guys, I said, hey, don't even bother giving her the light. She's got her set down. She knows where to start and where to end, and that she, you know, she'll be done right around the time that she has. And I was the one headlining, and so like I was giving you the permission to do what you needed to do. But I will say the fact that you are cognizant of that and aware that that's not something that you should do shows a level of professionalism that I don't think you'll see with a lot of the open micers.
One thing that I was really happy about was I didn't feel like I was completely outclassed with everyone that went on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel like I was the weakest link or that there was a weakest link. I felt okay. Like, I felt like the audience wouldn't know that I'd only been in front of a microphone a few times.
And I think what would be great is for people to see your advance in this. You know, we want to be able to continue doing this podcast and continue making it better. So we're going to start a Patreon, and it'll be Mitch and Kelly Stuck in Texas on Patreon. For $1, you're just supporting us. But for $5, every week, we're going to put up videos of Kelly's open mic performances where you can see her working out these jokes and the gradual aggression of that material. And then also, I'm going to be putting up clips of my material as I continue working toward releasing an album in the hopefully not so distant future. I have a contract with Stand Up Records, and so hopefully I'll get a venue to get that album done.
That sounds so cool.
But you'll be able to like see my progression and like work on fine-tuning this as well. So $1 is just you supporting the team here at Mitch and Kelly Stuck in Texas, and then $5 is you get to see some kind of raw onstage footage of me working on perfecting an album and Kelly working on
learning comedy,
her joke, like getting her jokes advanced. So that's that. Now, here's your homework assignment for next week.
Oh, okay.
All right.
What about the comedians you made me watch? Was that just for funsies?
I honestly went back and listened to the last episode, and I didn't hear that.
Huh. You told me to watch The Blue Collar Guys.
So,
okay.
So let's revisit that. You can actually give me a homework assignment to remember what that homework assignment was to you.
Yep.
But we'll do that on the next episode.
I like it.
We'll open it up with that, and then we'll go into this. So your next assignment is this, and this is a little bit more administrative kind of things that you're going to do. So I want you to take your jokes that you have right now, and okay, now that you have them listed with like little one-word descriptions, put them into three different groups. Group mm-hmm. one, group two, group three. Group one is going to be your best jokes. Those are the ones that you feel confident going on stage, making people laugh with. Now, it doesn't mean that they're completely done. You can always add to it, like we talk about tags. Right.
Right?
You can add those tags. Group two, the jokes that get laughs, but they still need work.
Right.
Okay. And then group three are, those are the jokes that aren't working. Whatever reason it is, they just need to be kind of set aside until you get better at joke writing and you can make those jokes what you hear in your mind.
Okay, and then also the material you assigned me for writing jokes from my observations.
Yes.
Okay.
Just real quick, I want to remind people that this syllabus comes from John Roy. You can look it up, John Roy Comedy Class. It's really great. This is a really effective way to improve your comedy and your skills as a writer. So, assignment two, make your set list ahead of time for the next open mic.
Okay.
Bring that in and we'll just go over it. And then assignment three, I'd like for you to watch Kyle Kinane's World Largest Pizza Bit.
Okay.
And then I want you to watch Jim Gaffigan's Hot Pocket Bit. And I mean, that's probably one of the most famous bits in stand-up comedy. We got some questions that we're going to ask about those. I have them written down for you.
Okay.
And then I have a list of questions for your set.
Okay.
You know, like I think at the club, I'll just go ahead and say it. At the club, you did a really good job of going from A to Z. You went through the storyline and you kind of tied it up with a nice little bow with a ribbon on it at the end with your little callbacks and stuff. And then for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think about this for my lesson.
Okay.
Is teaching Billy to share, because we tried to do that today, and it was a huge meltdown. So you don't got to say anything about it right now, but really kind of go through. You had two kids.
Yes.
So they had to share. And so some of the turmoil that you might have went through with that.
All right, you got it.
And then I guess that's it. Is there anything else you got?
You mean like herpes?
No, we never share that with the audience. That is just for you. That's your own special little secret.
Well, I don't have that.
You just said you did. How much other stuff are you lying about? You know what? I'm done with this podcast. If I can't trust you to tell me that you have herpes, I don't know what I can trust you about.
Bye. I don't know why I say goodbye, I say hello. Hello, hello.
Put this mug on.
Mug? Mug?
Yeah.
Like a coffee mug?
Not like it's colder than a mug outside. It's, you know, just mug.
You've been in Texas too long if this is cold for you.